Good evening, church.
Good evening, Ken Flannery. You go ahead and do announcements.
Do I want to do announcements?
Yeah, because John's downstairs working.
Okay, what are the announcements?
Tuesday night.
Okay, Tuesday night, we're going to have a deacon's meeting at 6 o'clock in the pastor's office.
Yeah.
Tonight, after the service, we're going to have a church council.
And an 11 o'clock prayer meeting.
And 11 o'clock Tuesday morning right here, we have our weekly prayer meeting for the lost. So try to make it out here if you can. And once again, welcome. And glad you all make it out here tonight. And hope you all had a good day in the Lord. It's been a rainy day, but it's been a good, needed day. And it rains beautiful. So let's all stand and sing number 502. Open my eyes that I may see. 502.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready by God thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. Will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready by God thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready by God thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to see all of you. Thankful that you come out. Guess where we're going to be at tonight? We're going to be back in Nehemiah. That's right. We're going to go back to Nehemiah. I got a little bit of a headache, but also there's just a lot in those chapters. Even though it was just 19 verses, there's a lot I wanted to say, a lot I didn't get to say. And then I also want to talk about just the book of Nehemiah as we've been studying it. I'll ask you some questions like this. What has stood out to you in our study about Nehemiah? Has there been something that you learned or heard that you didn't know before? And how is it affecting your life that we're moving into this study of Nehemiah? But we'll be back in chapter 5 again tonight. But we do want to tell all of you, it's good to be with you tonight. I know it's a dreary Sunday evening, but thank you for making the effort, and no doubt you will be blessed. Not because I'm preaching or because you're at Thomas Village, but because the Lord says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So hallelujah. If we walk in His will, then we can't help but be blessed. To those of you that's watching by Facebook and in the parking lot, I just want to remind you, we're glad to have you, not believing in chance or accident, but also that nobody loves you like Jesus, and nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. I got a friend, and if you'll let him, he'll do greater things. I try to ask him every day, have you smiled and told yourself that nobody loves you like Jesus? And it'll make a difference in your life. But as you turn into the book of Nehemiah, we do want to have our prayer list tonight. And again, I'm thankful for those that have kindly let me know of some of these names and been able to take four or five off this week. Believe you me, there's many others waiting to fill it just as you take one off. But do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight?
I'd just like to thank God for letting me come back and
meet. Amen. Amen. He does change you from being selfish to selfless. It's a lifetime change from once you get saved. But you get teenagers, and not only do you see that they're very selfish, but they portray you sometimes in the way you act and the way you think, because a lot of them reflect the way that they've been raised. Anyone else with a word of praise or testimony? That I've got that one wrote down. You don't know how good it does your preacher to see you standing up with your arm raised or just worshiping him with your eyes closed and singing to him. But I try to walk around this place on a regular basis and pray specific prayers over the area that has been dedicated, the land and the physical institution that has been surrendered to Christ and for his purpose. And today's specific prayer was, Lord, let us worship like we should worship, and let your spirit fill us. And it ain't always about raising your hands. It's sometimes it's about running a circle. Other times it might be about staying in one spot. Yeah, I forget who it was, but when they were praying for revival, they would draw a circle. Brother Trent told us that. Y'all remember when he came up for the revival a few years ago? They would draw the circle. The great evangelist would draw the circle on the ground and kneel down and say, Lord, send revival inside this circle. And praise God, I do believe that there's a hunger for God's word. Tonight we want to remember the lost. And again, thank God for this morning's services. Thank God that he is faithful. I know that there were 99 of those little communions in a cup that we did this morning, and there were 15 left. So that means there were 85 people that participated, unless somebody got a little excited and really liked the way they were thinking. Oh, my goodness, Sister Donna. That's all right. That's fine. You just make me do my math over again. She makes me do my math over again, and I don't like math. And it'd be 83. Hey, I'm so thankful for it. I am. I thank God. You know, we're learning how to minister in a different way. It's just different times. But first time I bit into that unleavening bread, I didn't know if it was styrofoam or if it was... I was like, yeah. Did they mix up that shipment? Was that just a filler or something? Ooh, God bless you, sister. No. And it just looked bigger. The first time I ate it, it looked small. This morning, it was big. I was like, man, I know what's coming. That thing, they don't know what's coming. I know what's coming, and that thing looks huge. But I am thankful that we're doing it. You know, a little bit of the personal touch is removed from it, but we're living in strange times. We're living in end times. And we're just learning how to serve. But I thank God that we were able to do the Lord's Supper because it's been a while. But we do want to pray for the lost, the backslidden, marriages, those that are depressed, our nation. Jean Rose, the Keck, Sister Carol Edwards, she's going to be having a procedure Wednesday the 6th. But praise God, it looked like it was going to be on in the middle of October or toward the end of October, but she's had a hectic few weeks. Again, I think it was six times last Sunday, and then she had to go again Sunday. So a lot in the past month, so we're thankful for that. Bill Eads, continue to pray for him, dealing with cancer. Steve Lester, David Starnes, Marcella Bledsoe, Milo Hill, Karen McDavid, Jared Newton, Jay and Wes Rasnick families, B. Lane, John, Stephanie, and Brenda Stenick, Tony and Bethany McGee, Ivan Scott and family, Lisa Eastep, Betty Carter, Kathy Baldwin, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Mark Leonard's wife and mother, Cole and Connor Bagley, Wilma and Don Daniels, Larry Tomlinson, Melanie Lester, Larry Spears, Deborah Rames, Mickey O'Neill, Jeanette Carter, Rick Swanson, Kyle Lawson, Mike Brown, Kathy Smiley, Penny Horton, Junior Stidham, Sister Stephanie Harvey and family, Brother Ronnie Owens, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Lorraine Davis, Brandon Johnson, Terry Beeler, Debbie Starnes, Ashley Clark, Gary and Brandy CC, Margaret, pray for Brother Chet, Jesse Bull and Pam Savarsky, Standy and Sandy Williams, Jason Knight, Edsel Kick, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Kevin Tigner, Heather Markham, Helen Garrett, Betty McCorkle, Susie Drawdery, Maggie Statzer, Teresa Holden, Larry Rasnick, Tony Ray, that was the one I was supposed to take off, Susie Hill, Roger and Vivian Edens, Virginia Edens, John Wade, Daryl Hurd, Cindy Osborne, Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, Mike Stapleton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes, Laura, Opal, and Grayson, J.T. and Gladys Jones, Billy Joe and Sandra Robbins, Rhea Osborne, Justin Bowen, Wilma Jacobs, Doris Williams and family, Sister Lillian Baldwin and family, Priscilla Smith, Ethan Bowen, Susie Hill, Carol Carter, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Talma and Tommy and Alma Mullins, Haley Webb, Sean and Don Garinetti, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Linda Jordan, Nicholas Patrick, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Lottie Johnson, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten and family, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Liza Fletcher, Helen Bowen, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John, and Carmine Shoup. Then some of our friends in Georgia also. I'm pretty sure Mom and Daddy will be on the road tomorrow coming up for a few weeks, so pray for them. And then all of our first responders, we want to lift them up. And then also don't forget our 500 shoeboxes that we're aiming for. All right, any other prayer needs tonight? Yes. I seen that on. We will be lifting them up. Anyone else? I seen that. I'm sorry, sister. We will, Brother Johnny. Brother Otis? Okie dokie. There was one more that I was sent, and I didn't have time to look back on my text or Facebook stuff, but I know there are a few more that's there. Yes, sister. Sarah what? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, we will. Thank you, Sister Roten. Anyone else? Anyone else? Will do, Brother Josh. Anyone else? All right. The altar is always open. I got it. To have a drink of water real quick. And whatever your prayer needs, whether you're in here and watching by Facebook, just call your need out to the Lord, and we'll agree in spirit that His will be done and His glory be revealed in that situation. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it is in Jesus' name that we, Lord, just stop and recognize the awesome privilege that we have in prayer. And Heavenly Father, Lord, even when our bodies and our minds may not be 100% involved with it, Lord, that we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can kneel down and come boldly before our Creator. God, not without arrogance, but with confidence that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly all that we could think or ask. And I do ask you to forgive me of my sins. And Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've called out these names, many of them multiple times, Heavenly Father, Lord, and sometimes we wonder why our prayers aren't answered. But God, you are wise and you are in control, and we can trust that you do all things well. But God, we do praise you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that there is some healing. There is some joy, Heavenly Father, Lord, in these lives. And God, and we can always rest in the fact knowing that somewhere on this planet there's someone that would willingly trade places with us no matter how difficult the situation is. But God, I'm thankful today that you've gone before us, Holy Spirit, and that you lead us and guide us and empower us, giving us the desire to serve you. And so, Lord, we lay these needs at your feet, and we do pray, Lord, for the souls tonight that may be getting ready to plunge into eternity. Won't you call them one more time and give us a burden for lost souls, Heavenly Father, Lord. Give us a burden for the community around us, and give us a burden to represent the name of Jesus in a proper manner, that you receive the glory that you're due and the Father may be lifted up. Holy Spirit, I thank you, I praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we lay all these petitions at your feet. Amen and amen. All right, as you know, this morning we were studying, and before we read it, let's just kind of catch up with where we're at. Nehemiah got a burden. He was a slave, a servant, not a slave, but he was a servant in a foreign king's palace, vacation palace is what it looks like, because the nation of Israel had rebelled against their Creator, had rebelled against their God. You remember they're saying many times in the Old Testament is, "You shall be our God and we shall be your people." And remember, even when Solomon built the temple, he acknowledged the weakness of the people and prayed to God and said, if we find ourselves in a foreign land, if we find ourselves held captive, but when we turn back to this place, when we face toward Jerusalem, to where at, not just Jerusalem, the city of God, but remember we talked about how the Old Testament was the physical representation of what we're now living in the spiritual, they turned to the presence of God at the temple. He dwelled there. And now no longer do we dwell in that temple, but we have been separated. We've been cast apart. We've been not been able to meet and come closely together. We are living in different times. And what we see in Nehemiah is that one man's burden becomes a plan. God blesses that plan, and then he reveals that vision to the people of God, and they at first begin to reestablish the walls and the gates. That's basically just the stability of the city and of Judah. That was what that was all about. That's what we need to see in our own lives, where we move back to the standard of God's Word in our life. Because most things we learn through practice. We do it over again. Timetables. We listen to this, me and Brother Paul listened to this week, I think the statement was made. And the same is true with our sinful life. We practice. I know I got saved when I was age 20. So for 20 years, I practiced being a sinner. I practiced putting myself as number one. I practiced on fulfilling every desire that I have. Now, I've been saved longer now. I've been saved 23 years now. And yet, I've still not had enough practice to override the old man that's still there. But the more I do it, like we talked about last week, when the rebuilding of the walls became difficult because of the words of discouragement and the works of discouragement that we've seen in Nehemiah, we see that Nehemiah did the same thing he did when God first gave him the burden. He hit his knees and began to pray. Then he responded with perseverance in the Word. What did he do? He practiced doing what was right. He practiced doing what was right in the eyes of God. And then what was he able to do? He was able to rest in the promises of God. Why? Because he not only knew the promises of God, but he was living in the promises of God. And the blessing was on him and God's people as they sought to reestablish the boundaries of God. That's what the picture of the wall is. It's the boundaries, the safe gate. Like on a football field, sometimes you're thankful for the rules, because the rules make the game worth playing. And the same is true about living for the Lord. Is it that He's got us buckled down and doesn't want us to fulfill the pleasures of living? No, He doesn't want that, but it is with His commands that we find the fullness of life that's involved in it. And so they're building the wall. Nehemiah and the vision has come around, and they basically had it halfway up and all the way around. And then he finds out the passage that we read today. And I want to read that to you again this morning, because last week he dealt with outside defeat or distractions coming in. Now he's having to deal with inside distraction. Let's begin in verse 1. There was a widespread outcry from people and their wives against their Jewish countrymen. Some were saying, We, our sons, our daughters are numerous. Let us get grain so that we can eat and live. The others were saying, we are mortgaging our fields, vineyards, and homes to get grain during this famine. Still others were saying, we have borrowed money to pay the king's tax on our field and vineyards. We and our children are just like the other countrymen, the governors and the officials, and their children, yet we are subject, our sons and daughters, to slavery. Some of our daughters are already enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and our vineyards belong to others. I became extremely angry when I heard the outcry and their complaints. After seriously considering the matter, I accused the nobles and officials, saying to them, each of you is charging his countrymen interest. So I called a large assembly against them and said, we have done our best to buy back our Jewish countrymen who were sold to foreigners, but now you sell your own countrymen and we have to buy them back. They remained silent and could not say a word. Then I said, what are you doing? What you are doing isn't right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God and not invite the reproach or the mockery of our foreign enemies? Even I, as well as my brothers and servants, have been lending them money and grain. Please, let's stop charging this interest. Return their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses to them immediately, along with the percentage of money, grain, new wine, and fresh oil that you have been assessing them. They responded, we will return these things and require nothing more from them. We will do as you say. So I summoned the priest and made everyone take an oath to do this. I shook the folds of my robe and said, may God likewise shake from his house and property everyone who doesn't keep this promise. May he be shaken out and have nothing. And the whole assembly said, amen, knowing that amen means I agree and let it thus be, or basically let this happen, or let this be a reality in our life. And they praised the Lord. Then the people did as they had promised. Furthermore, from the day King Artaxerxes appointed me to be their governor, from the 20th year, jump down to verse 15. The governors who preceded me had heavily burdened the people, taking from them food and wine as well as a pound of silver. Their subordinates are basically their minions, or their buddies, also got their hand in the picture. So not only were they requiring much for the governor, but all his little posse, you know, his crew that was hanging out with him, they were making themselves rich off the back of the poor Jewish people. Verse 16, instead I devoted myself to the construction of this wall, and all my subordinates were gathered there for their work. We didn't buy any land. There were 150 Jews, there were 150 Jews and officials as well as guests from the surrounding nations each day. One ox, six choice sheep, some fowl were prepared for me. An abundance of all kinds of wine was provided every 10 days. But I didn't demand the food allotted to the governor because the burden of the people was so heavy. Remember me favorably, my God, for all that I have done is for your people, or for this people. So, how many of you has ever went through a study of the book of Nehemiah before? Raise your hand, just to give me an idea. All right, okay. So, I just know this. We've not even reached the good part. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, not only is this scripture, but it's almost like a drama that you're able to read, and you're able, or a novel that you're able to get involved with. There's bad guys, good guys. There's shadiness going around on the back, shadiness going around in the front. But then you have a coming together of a nation, and they recognize who they are. But then in that very moment where they restore the law, we're going to see this later, that they're broken over what they've... Remember this morning, they were making a good show, but they were charging interest. They didn't know the law. They didn't know what was going on. So we're going to read later on that they come before, they have a big camp meeting type session, and they find out that they've been living against the God who's been blessing them. And then the preacher that's preaching, he basically says, okay, it's good to mourn, but guess what? It's festival time, so we got to be happy and eat. Praise God, they were Baptists back then. If you get bad news, eat something and get happy. Amen. So let me just ask you this. What has stood out to you in your study? I know some people have been reading ahead, and I'm thankful for that. They help. They text me some things about it, and it kind of motivates me to make sure that my study's going well. So anybody, just something that stood out to you in this study we're going through. Amen. Amen. And you know, this is the third time that I've taught through the book of Nehemiah. And it's amazing that God, you can know something, you can have read it, but God will show it. Never before have I linked the burden that Nehemiah had for the people and for the place of God with the scripture where Christ says, if anyone shall come after me, let them take up their cross daily. That was Christ's burden. He carried that burden. And that's what we see, that we each have been called to carry a burden. To be truthful, serving the Lord in America so far really doesn't cost us anything except sacrifice of our time and maybe a little bit of effort and maybe some finances. But really and truly, all that's a benefit. The Jews in the Old Testament saw all that as a privilege. When they were right with God, they saw all of those things as a privilege, to the point that the Levites were like, we're okay with not having land. God is our inheritance. So there are a lot of things that can be shown. Anyone else, something that just stood out to them? Mm-hmm. Amen. And you know what? The closer you get to the Lord, the more you recognize and own your calling, the more willing that you'll be to be uncomfortable for Him. Because see, it began with burden. He got uncomfortable on the inside, remember? And then he had to go to Artaxerxes, who had already been listening to Tobiah and the other surrounding governors, which were saying, oh, they're rebuilding the temple, and once they get this temple rebuilt, King Artaxerxes, they're going to rebel against you, they're going to stop paying taxes, and they're going to be their own people. So uncomfortable, he had to go before the king and basically ask to do what he had just told them to stop doing. But then, like you said, the more God blessed him, probably the more uncomfortable he got, because he wasn't living in Susa no more. He wasn't living in the king's palace. He was riding horses in the middle of the night along the wall, but the burden became a reality. And he said, basically, as we look at it in New Testament terms, he said, I'm willing to carry this burden. And the people of God got to a point where they would say, I am willing to carry this burden. Any other thoughts? That's what they were doing. That's exactly what all this was about. Amen. Oh, he's just going to be another one of those. But see, what we're going to see later on is this, is not only does he not buy land, nor the people that he brought with him buy land, they go back in the historical records, and basically they're finding out what land goes where, who's to be over this. They're taking it back to Ancestry.com. I mean, that's basically what they're fixing to do to get things made right. But if you remember this morning, as we tried to cross that bridge and we looked at it, that what we see here is that they're saying basically the minority is taking advantage of the majority because they have been blessed financially. And see, just like we've been studying over in the book of James, what usually causes problems between people and is selfishness. It's selfishness. These men and women, one, did not know the law. They did not know the truth. They hadn't been taught it, or they just thought times have changed and we're going to live differently now. Does that sound familiar? That's what our culture is trying to tell us as believers today. Times have changed and all that hokey religion stuff. You can tie it on to your life, but just don't make it the main point of your life. But remember, he said, my fields are mortgaged. I've sold everything I've got just to get grain in the midst of this. My youngins are as slaves, and my fields, I can't even have any product because I've given my fields, and they were probably leasing it out to somebody else who would give them a better deal, or basically they were tenant farmers working their own land, but the rich were getting their money. And we see, well, see, how many of you knew that Tobiah had found a back door into the whole situation? You see, I think what it was, when we look back at when Sanballat's really running his mouth back in chapter 4, and you notice Tobiah, he does say something negative. He does say, yeah, if a fox run on it, it would probably tear it down. But he didn't open his mouth too much like Sanballat. Why? Because he was getting his pocket padded, so he was just going to kind of let go and let be gone and all that. And I've still got me a little niche worked in there. Why? Because I've married. He was an outlawed in-law is what he was. That's the way I am. But basically, this goes all the way back because they didn't know the law, because they had been told, don't intercede, you know, stay with the people of God, marry with the people of God. But again, what we can see is this, is that we can get caught up in hype sometimes. We can. We can get caught up in touchy-feely, I got to feel it, you know, get them tingles down, let's get some smoke blowers in here and purple up the background, and let's make it more showy. And you know what? There's a formula. If you play the right amount of songs with the right beat, it will make your pulse pick up, and you'll feel like you've had some type of tingly-tingly. But what we've seen is that while there can be progress being made, just like we see in Texas right now with the passing of the law where if the baby's got a heartbeat, praise God, that's progress. But at the same time, those people that were making progress were ignorant of the word. Remember what it said? It said that they were breaking the law that we see in Exodus 22:25. Don't lend them, don't charge interest. Leviticus 25:35 and following, don't charge a brother interest. And then in Deuteronomy 23:20, don't charge a brother interest. You can make it off a foreigner, but don't make it off a brother. And so basically, I think that they might have been being like a lot of Christians, which means that we have selective application. You know what I'm saying? We have selective. Well, yeah, we want to rebuild the wall. We want Israel to be, but we got to give the money back. No, we don't got to give the money back. And remember, they had a mind to work, but the leading class did not have a mind for the word. And so when Nehemiah found this out, he says, well, it just made me flat out mad. I got mad about it, and I accused them, and I said, listen here, what you're doing is not good. What you're doing is not right. Don't you think that you ought to fear the Lord? You ought to live a life that shows respect, honor, and awe for the Creator, because He's our God and we're His people. And the way we treat one another declares what we think of our God. And why are you doing this? We're already a laughing stock, and now when they hear about how we're treating one another, then we're going to be a bigger laughing stock. But he has a firm response to sin. You think about this. When he deals with the matter, when he focuses on the matter, he immediately, the anger was there. He's been overseeing a massive construction, but it says that strong feelings of displeasure rose up within him. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 tells us that there's a time for us to be angry, and we can be angry and not sin. And in America, not only do we have selective application, but we've become desensitized to the sin around us. You know, it no longer breaks our heart. When I went to D.C., God gave me a wake-up call because it was 4th of July weekend that I went up there. They didn't care about having the stars and bars everywhere, but they wanted to have their stolen rainbow of promise everywhere. Why? Because that's what matters. It's a fist in the eye of the Lord. But then I was thinking about these today. When we see that the commitment, and I glazed over this morning, as we crossed that bridge, you remember that we talked about how we can hold on to that resentment. We can hold on to that anger. We can hold on to that hurt. And a part of us, even though we're hurting, the idea that the fact that we're mad with somebody, the fact that they're indebted to us, there's a part of us that likes that. And you know what I've realized the older I get? Sometimes, and 1 John even deals with it, sometimes the hardest person for us to forgive, the hardest person for us to let go of hurt is our own selves. You know what? I mean, when you lay there in the middle of the night or it's slow and the devil in the flesh brings back visions of some of that nasty stuff that I used to do. Some of the things I've looked at when I'm trying to pray and while I'm trying to get along with the Lord, and then those glimpses of failures pop into my mind. John said this. John says, if our heart convicts us, God is greater than our hearts. And that's what, you know what? If a lot of people will disqualify themselves from serving the Lord. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough understanding. I don't read good. I'm kind of like Moses was. I stutter and I stammer and all that. You know what? God had an answer for every excuse. But when he got mad with Moses was when Moses says, Lord, I just find somebody else. I ain't going to do it. But he wouldn't let him be still. But I want y'all to think about the oath, because I really thought about this, because Nehemiah meant what he said. No, you remember, and I'm not going to read it, but notice what he did. He said, okay, y'all all said y'all going to do right now, and you're going to do it. Okay, let's call the preacher. And you remember, he calls the preacher in, and he's already called an assembly. They in a business meeting with all the governors and the rulers and probably some of the slaves and all that were held under the oppression of the brothers of the people of God. And he said, here's what I want us to do. I want us to get a priest in here, and I want us all to make a vow. You said you're going to do this. You said basically that you didn't really know. They kindly acted like, well, we don't understand. We were trying to buy them back, and now you're telling them we buy them back and all that. But what they were doing was wrong. And Nehemiah called them in, and everybody agreed to it, didn't they? They said, amen, or they said, let it be. And you remember what he said? He stood up and he shook his robe. And the idea is that there's some grime or some sand or some bread on your robe, and when you shake it off, it falls off. And he said, let every man be like that if he doesn't live up to the oath that he's made. And we think that's heavy, don't we? But can I say this? Because in that picture, what do we see? We see the people of God making a commitment not only to God, but to the other people of God. You know, on the day that you got saved and you joined the church, you made a commitment to God, but you also made a commitment to the other people in that body. You see, I don't have to push you, and I don't have to ram that around. Because see, the fact is if the Holy Spirit lives in you, then you know it already. You've already made that commitment. When people joined this church, they knew we had service on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And they said, boy, I'd like to be a part of that. You made a commitment. And sometimes we need to go back and we need to rehearse those commitments. But we think what Nehemiah is doing here is like, whoa, look what he's doing. He's saying, hey, if they're not right, I pray they not be found in God's favor. Right? I mean, that's basically it. That's the commitment we've made. In Christ Jesus, we said, Lord, I give you my life. It's not my life anymore, but I'm going to live it for you. Right? And then what else? We told the church, man, I just really think the Spirit of God's great around here, and it is. Praise God. We better never take it for granted, and we better guard it with everything we got. But we also told everybody that we may not have understood it. We might have been young and just, woohoo, praise God, it feels good not to have sin in my life no more. Let me be a part of that. But it is. And you know, it's a hurting thing when you realize the people at church ain't perfect no more. You know what I mean? When you first get saved, you're like, oh, looky there, that guy's great. And that other person, she's sweet as all get out. And then he gets mean, and you hear her cuss down the road and all that, and you're like, oh, the vision. No, we're just people that are doing our best to live for the Lord. If we were going to be in the book of James tonight, he was going to say, confess your sins one unto another. Be accountable one unto it. Not only with your time, but with the way you live your life. And notice what Nehemiah said. And again, we talked about it this morning. You know, we've talked about how Nehemiah's been a type of Christ, because we see him leave the mansion and go to the people. He brings all the blessings of the king from the palace to the people. And then today, what do we see? We see the selflessness of Nehemiah, like Brother Paul said a while ago there in verse 16. He said, listen, all I came here to do was build a wall. I didn't come here to fight enemies. I didn't come here to make a name for myself. But I came here to see the walls rebuilt. And then he said, this is what got me. He said, those other governors, they were heavy-handed. And so were their friends. They liked it to profit off our backs. Us going hungry in the famine, us having to pawn our fields, us having to... And I think they actually would marry off their daughters to get the dowry to be able to have some money. That's when he talked about some of the daughters already being given away. I think they probably had to do that to try to get some money to eat on. But in all of that, he says, no, I'm not going to do it. But still, he said, I don't accept the governor's... No, if the scripture specifically said, I did not demand the governor's portion, meaning that he wasn't going to put the heavy hand on them like the other one had. But it, notice what it said. It said every day he had a cow, 6 sheep, turkey, duck, chicken, and really good wine every 10 days. I asked Brother Paul now, I said, where did he get that from? You know what I think it was? I think it was like the priesthood. The people fed him. They made sure that he had things to eat in. And it said there was 150 Jews sitting at the table with him, and also others from around. And he was doing government. He was making deals. They were probably making some trade with some other people and all that, but it wasn't Tobiah, and it wasn't Sanballat, and it wasn't that crew, because God had done warned him about that crew. But again, he chose, in that whole situation, from the beginning, when he was just a servant in the king's house, the cupbearer, all the way to this point right now, he has embodied the model of Jesus in the fact that what he did was for the glory of his Creator and for the good of his Creator's people. You understand what I'm saying? He said, I'm doing it for God. And what did he say there in verse 19 of chapter 5? He said, God, remember me favorably for the way I've treated these people. He showed selflessness just as Christ showed selflessness in his life as well. So we may do some jumping over there in chapter 7. If you see what happens there is they begin to bring down the... Well, there's going to be some more intimidation in chapter 6, and we may hit it. And then in chapter 7, we see that he goes back and he finds all the people's names and those that are working. And in chapter 8, we see the finish of the wall. It's only the beginning of the revival. Revival's just barely started, and that's what we can't get. You know, we like that emotional feeling. We like to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here. But are we going to stay by the stuff when we don't have that feeling? When it's about our duty as a Christian? You know, and so, I don't think it's by chance or accident. Believe you me, I didn't plan on COVID is ending. Oh, yes, let's go through Nehemiah. But as we begin to go through it more, I think the parallel from the old covenant into the new covenant, and specifically us as a church, and as we're looking into the future and for us to reestablish our ministries, for us to encourage one another, recognizing that one ministry is vital to another ministry. There are no standalone ministries here. We all have to work together to be what we need to be. That means you can't be at everything. You know that? It also means you shouldn't try to be at everything. But there ought to be some things that you should do your dangest not to miss either, because that's your calling. That's where God has you, and you need to be there in your spot. Because if you do that, then when you aren't able to be there, you know someone else is filling their spot, and there's no weakness. There's no sag in the wall. There's no letdown in the wall. All right. Is there anything that you've seen or learned from the study of Nehemiah that has kindly just impacted something in your life, or it's really stood out to you and made you change the way you're serving God, the way you come before God? Remember, in his prayer, he had to begin with praise, "Our Father which art in heaven." I'm not quoting his, but then he dealt with personal sin. And then he dealt with prioritizing God's will in his life. So is there anything that just stands out to you right now, or if you think about it? All righty then. I read ahead. Skip over all the names if you have to. Or just say wheelbarrow, 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 wheelbarrow. Because you'd probably be close to saying them right as saying wheelbarrow as you would Shekinah or something like that. All right. Any thoughts, any testimony before we close out? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it has been good to be in your house today. And God, I'm thankful for your people. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we're not alone. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we have the Creator. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Christ undergirding us. And we have brothers and sisters in the battle alongside. And so, God, let us be diligent in our service. Keep us safe as we go. And, Lord, let us be more like Christ, selfless, letting go of selfish. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Good to see y'all.